and have asked churches like this one to pray for him and for them. So I'm going to do that, and then we'll continue with our worship. Father, we pray for Stephen and for his family today. For Stephen in the ICU, we pray for the staff tending him and ask that you give them clarity and wisdom as they treat his condition. And for his family at home, waiting for news and wondering what will be. Father, please, on this day especially, will you give them strength, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's a wonderful verse to hear when you've just prayed for someone, and with it we begin our worship. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us, to him be glory in Christ Jesus and in the church throughout all generations. Amen. Let's stand up and sing together. Thank you, Ruth.
Time to
I don't think we're a hay church. Do sit down. One of these days we'll do it. I hope you've noticed how beautiful it's looking at the front here. These gorgeous colours on the flowers. And we're going to do something very special with those later on. But to do that, the children are going to come and help us at the back end of the service. So if you'd like to make your way to your groups now, please do head off there. And we'll look forward to seeing you a little bit later on.
On God's love for us in the next two songs that we're going to sing, just really focusing on the love that he gave, that he has for us in giving us his son Jesus and him dying for us. So if you would like to join us with these two songs, that would be great.
Beyond all measure, at peace.
special day today, of course, Mothering Sunday, and up and down the country, there'll be all sorts of people in church who aren't usually there. They've come to be with Mum, or to remember Mum, or to sit alongside her perhaps today, and we celebrate that and we welcome it. Let's watch a little film together that focuses on today, and then I'll ask Bethany to come up and join me.
Gita is my mum's friend at church. She taught me to swim before my school trip so I wouldn't be left out.
Keris is my support worker and she helps me communicate. She stands up for me to make sure I get what I need.
I meet up with Becca every month. We just chat and it really helps.
One day when I was feeling angry, I bashed my bike against the wall. Our neighbour Karen came to mend it without making it a big deal.
Mum and Dad adopted all three of us, so I wasn't separated from my sisters. And when I still feel that I need to look after them, Mum helps me understand and gives me special time to be myself.
My youth worker, Kate, listened to me and helped me tell my parents what was happening.
Tessa is a teacher in my church. Over the summer, she's spent lots of time with me, helping me with my letters and numbers.
Mum has always been there for me, and I've never felt different to my brothers, who are her birth children.
Mother's Day can be difficult for many of us for a variety of reasons, but especially for young people in care. It can be a painful reminder of relationships lost or parents that they never knew. It can be a painful reminder of relationships that are difficult and strained, but it can also be an opportunity for them to be thankful for the many women in their lives who have nurtured them and cared for them in the way that Paul writes about. You could be one of those women. Could a young person or a vulnerable child experience the love of God and the radical hospitality that the Bible talks about in your church? I'm here today because people like you cared for me. You could be part of someone else's story starting today.
Bethany, welcome to you. Like the person we've just seen on the screen, you're an ambassador for Home for Good.
Yeah.
Tell us what the organisation's all about.
So we're a Christian charity, and we're highlighting the need for local foster carers and adopters, and also the need to support foster carers and adopters who do a fantastic but challenging role.
Like some of the people we've seen on the screen.
Yeah.
What's your actual role within that?
So I have been working for Home for Good for about 4 years now, and previously I was a social worker, or I am still a social worker, and my role, I go across different churches sharing what the local needs are, and seeing how churches can support foster carers and adopters and how we can support people who are considering fostering and adopting as well.
We haven't pre-scheduled this, but what makes you do it? What inspires you to do it?
So, well, God is the simple answer. I was actually working at a local authority, at Reading Local Authority as a social worker. And within Reading, there's something called Reading Christian Network, and it's a group of church leaders who meet up every week to pray over the community, basically. And they invited me in to share about what the needs are in for fostering. And when I went, I shared what, you know, that I was trying to find placements for however many children, and I couldn't find local placements for them. So it kind of started the ball rolling within Reading Home for Good. And I just have a passion to try and find local homes, really, for children locally. Yeah, and I'm blessed to do the job that I absolutely love.
And is this fostering and adopting that you're
involved with? It is, it's both, yeah. So it's some children, it's needing foster placements, and some, it's adoptive placements, so, yeah.
So give us an idea of a week then. Obviously you're here today doing this, but what might this next week hold for you?
So I work part-time, so a lot of my work is to meet up with church leaders and share about the vision of what Home for Good are doing. I help out at a support group at our church we run, which is a stay and play for foster carers and adopters, a stay and play breakfast, should I add, we need to have food in there as well. And I also have three children, husband as well, so I kind of balance.
So a little bit of juggling going on there.
Yeah.
How could we pray for you? What would be a good thing to pray for you?
I think work-life balance is always a good thing. But just for, I guess, doors opening to share the work of Home for Good across churches, across not only West Berkshire, but across Berkshire as a whole as well.
Just before we pray, if that prayer were answered, what would it look like?
I'll be saying it a bit later, but so the reality is there's 980 looked after children across Berkshire alone.
Right.
So what we've worked out actually across the UK, if one person from every church either stepped forward to foster or adopt, that would actually wipe out the need for foster carers and adopters.
Just like that?
Just like that.
Wow. Yeah. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for Bethany. Thank you for calling her to this work. Thank you, Father, that seeing the need and sharing it brought about that spark of inspiration to see the means by which she could do so. And we set this coming week of her diary in front of you now. We pray, Father, for inspiration when she needs it and strength when she needs it. We pray for that vision to be kept before her of the difference that this can make. And Father, when life is complicated and when many needs, all of them important, have to be juggled, we pray that you would give her all the strength and wisdom and inspiration that she needs. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask Anne now to come read to us from Ephesians 1 before Bethany comes back to talk to us. Thank you.
The reading is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 10. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In his love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all the wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Bethany.
I just want to say thank you first for allowing me to come and share something that I am so passionate about. I shared a bit just now about myself. So I actually live in Early with my husband, who is a police officer, and I've been a social worker for about 10 years now. It'll be 10 years this year, and we have three children. Poor children with a husband and a social worker as a police officer and a social worker as parents. They have a lot as teenagers to kind of think about, but yes. When I was thinking about what I was going to chat about today, the fact it was Mother's Day actually did come into it. I'm not going to talk too much about Mother's Day throughout my talk. However, I don't know how many of you are on Facebook, but this week I had a post come up that I wrote 2 years ago. So it sends you reminders about different things you wrote previously. And I felt like I wanted to share this with you. Yeah, it kind of shares some of the realities of how I see, how I felt Mother's Day was. And the topic was reality of Mother's Day and why I'm thankful. And this is what I wrote. So this week, I had been battling with myself about feeling annoyed that my husband was working early today at 5 a.m. and then going straight to work, from work to band practice at church, and then playing at church in the evening, meaning that on Mother's Day, I'd be getting up with the children, no lying, entertaining the children all day, stopping in the normal squabbling and the it's not fair, and then putting them to bed in the evening whilst being 36 weeks pregnant. I found myself feeling emotional about it all, and then something really hit me. The reality is that from when I was young, I knew I wanted to be a mother. And I am so blessed to be one to two incredible children and have one more on the way. I have a husband who works hard to provide for us in a demanding job, so I get to work part-time. I am aware today on Mother's Day, people will post about the amazing gifts and the lions they got. But for me, I got to be a mum, and that's the most amazing gift. Today, I'll be thinking of all of those who have craved to be a mother, and for whatever reason, this has not been possible. And for those who, where Mother's Day is really challenging, I pray today you are blessed and that it'll be a day of hope and not sorrow. I guess the reason that I felt to share that is there are 170 looked-after children in West Berkshire alone. So today, there are 170 children, for whatever reason, they're not able to be with their birth parents, be with their birth mother. So Mother's Day can be really challenging, and I just felt it was important to acknowledge that, really, and just think about those children who are in care and how challenging, and also for their birth parents as well. I said earlier about Home for Good and a bit about what our vision is. It's to try and find a home for every child who needs one. It's a big vision. We are a small charity, and it's a really big vision, bearing in mind that there are over 8,000 more foster placements needed throughout the UK. And at the moment, there are about 3,000 children who are waiting to be adopted. So it's not a small task, but we really do believe that each of these children should have the chance to be loved and accepted and the chance to thrive just as God loves us. And we feel that with the church, we can actually make that a possibility. So in the UK, every 15 minutes, a child comes into care. And it's not that they come into care for really small reasons. Actually, it's really difficult for a child to actually get into the care system. The reality is a lot of them will have been through trauma, abuse, and all of them will have been through loss. And so it may be for a short time or for a long time they're not able to live with their birth parents. My role, as I said earlier, is to go across churches and highlight what the local needs are. And to share ways we can support foster carers and adopters who are already doing it locally. We don't think that everyone can go out and everyone should go out and foster and adopt. We really are aware that that is not possible, but we really do feel everyone has a part to play in that. So locally, I'm working with West Berkshire Council, and I actually met with them last week. And they're really struggling at the moment. They've got a lot of foster carers who are retiring, and they don't have any other foster carers kind of coming through the door. But they still have an increase in the amount of children coming into care. So they're really trying to find placements at the moment for teenagers and also unaccompanied minors. Within West Berkshire, there is a higher amount of unaccompanied children coming through. So they're really trying to find homes for them at the moment. So if you can pray for that, that would be fantastic. I'm also working with PACT, which is a voluntary adoption agency. And what they do is try and find adoptive placements for children that they class as harder to place. And you might say, well, what's harder to place? Well, actually, it's children aged 4 and up, sibling groups, children who are black or ethnic minority, and children who have uncertainty and additional needs, and we don't know what their future holds. So part of my role is to go across churches and share what this need is, which is quite ironic, really, because I'm a pastor's daughter. My dad works in the church, and I always said I'm never, ever going to work in a church. I'm never going to speak in a church. But God had other plans for me, and now I'm doing this on quite a regular basis. So this really is God's heart, and I'm really actually excited to be able to do that. As I said, there are 170 looked after children in West Berkshire alone. I'm about to show a clip from the BBC One's The Choir. Some of you may have seen it already. It's about a boy called Adil. He's 13 years old.
and he's been in 9 different foster placements. Earlier on in the programme, it says that he's actually been in foster care since he was 3. And whilst they were filming this, he had moved from his placement. He had been there for 4 years, and he moved to another placement. And the reason I want to show this is actually because this is a reality for a lot of the children in care at the moment. It's very unusual for a child to be in 1 placement or 2 placements. There's often many more to that.
I didn't know the kids individually, and now I do, and I've spent time with them. And with Adil, I feel for him because he has been through a really difficult time in his life. He's been moved foster care recently, so he's now in a new house, in a new placement. That's so difficult. He's got a huge long journey. It's 2 hours to his new home in Essex. And I will be sad if he doesn't make it to the performance of his own song.
Adil will be in a temporary placement until somewhere nearer the school can be found.
I've been let down a lot of times. I really can't be bothered anymore. I'm not looking for a family, I'm just looking for a place. Because I know I'm not going to get the family that I want. I can make one when I'm older, but I'm not going to get a family. I'm not going to have people that I can rely on like that. I just want to feel comfortable and safe somewhere.
It's the end of the school year, and the
team meeting, we were asked, we had little stations, and that was one of the clips to look over and reflect and pray about. For me, it was so powerful because 13-year-old saying, actually, he's not looking for a family, he just wants somewhere he can feel safe. That he's been let down so many times that actually he doesn't see a family can give him what he needs. It's, you know, a programme on the telly, but that is the reality for many of our children in care. A lot of them don't feel that they're going to get that love and that acceptance that they need. And they feel that they should reject somewhere before they're going to get rejected, so they will often try and break a placement down because they're too scared that they're going to be rejected. As I said, my role is going across churches and highlighting what these needs are. And we said earlier that there are 980 children across Berkshire alone who are looked after, and that if one person from every church fostered or adopted, actually that would wipe out that need. The reason that I'm so passionate about it is because my previous role was as a family finder. So there were 40 children that I was trying to find long-term permanent placements for. And I would go out and meet the children and chat with them about what their interests are and what they liked. And some of them would say, oh, I really want there to be a trampoline, or I really would love to have a pet. But actually, the reality was all of them said to me they wanted to stay in the area they are currently. They didn't want to have to, you know, go back and forth to visit family. They didn't want to have to start a new school again. They didn't want to have to try and make new friends again. So for me, my hope, and the reason I do this job and go across churches, is that I would love to see that every time a child comes into care, whether that's for a short time until they can return home to birth family or a long time, that social workers aren't banging their heads against a brick wall trying to find homes for these children, but actually we've got a line of foster carers and adopters across all of our churches just ready to love and accept the children, just to give them that home for as short or long as they need so that they can be loved and cherished and thrive just as God loves us. That's my hope for all of these children, and that's why I'm so passionate about it. The statistics for looked after children, a third of homeless people were previously in care, 40% of prisoners under 21 were previously in care, and actually children in care are 5 times more likely to experience mental health. But what evidence shows is that love and stability can make a difference to the outcome of looked after children. So love and stability can change each of these statistics for a child. And you might be saying, okay, that's great, well, why is this the church's responsibility? What is it? What is it about, you know, why are you coming to the churches and asking? The reality is throughout the Bible, the heart of the Bible is about adoption. You know, God died for us. He sent his son to die for us. And we have been adopted. And the reason he wanted us to be adopted and to be his sons is so that we knew the love, the unconditional love that he could give to each and every one of us. He is our Father who will never, ever let us down. And no matter what we're going through, we can turn to him. Many of the looked after children don't know that God. And wouldn't it be amazing if we can share our God with them and say, actually, you know, yes, you have had such a difficult time, but there is a God who loves you and he will never, ever let you down. He will love you unconditionally. No matter what you do, you can't run from him. He will love you. We shared in the Bible passage earlier, in Ephesians 1, 5, it says, in love, he predestined us to adoption as sons throughout Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. And there's many other Bible verses throughout the Bible where it talks about adoption and God wanting us to be adopted by him. And then further throughout the Bible, obviously it shares about God's heart for the vulnerable, and he tells us to go out and support and love and care for those in need. Well, children in care are in need, and they are vulnerable. There's, you know, numerous Bible verses where it says, you know, father to the fatherless, the defender of the widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. And I said earlier, you know, we don't think that everyone can go out and foster and adopt. That's not what it's about. And we understand it is hard and it can be very challenging. But we really do feel everyone has a part to play. You know, Romans 12, 10, 13, it says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serve in the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. And I think the bit for me is the practice hospitality. You may not be able to foster or adopt, but what can you do to serve? How can you support foster carers and adopters? And how can you support these children in our area? I've pointed out three ways that you may be able to help. And the first one all of us can do, it's prayer. Prayer is powerful. So can you pray for the foster carers and adopters in your community? Pray for, you know, ask them what they need prayer for. How can you help and support them? Pray for all the children waiting, the 980 across Berkshire, the 170 specifically in West Berkshire, and nationally, the 8,000 for fostering and the 3,000 for adoption. And can you pray for Home for Good? I know you prayed for me earlier, and that's great. Thank you. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate that, because it is a challenging role, and it's a challenging vision that we have. But the reality is God is powerful, and we know that he goes first and that it is possible. So please pray for the work that we're doing in Home for Good. The other way is support. I say, could you be a champion on here? So we have champions. We're very much aware that fostering and adoption is challenging. And what we do when people are asking about fostering or inquiring about fostering and adoption, we want to ensure that we've got foster carers and adopters who we can pair up with them to share with them what it's like to journey through them throughout that adoption or fostering process. So if there are any foster carers and adopters who want to offer support, then please do come and chat to me afterwards. There's been amazing stories across the UK of how churches have supported foster carers and adopters. So within our church, I said earlier, we have a stay and play breakfast. And actually what happens is foster carers and adopters come along on a quarterly basis, and we have church members serving breakfast for them. They can chat, they can talk, they can support one another. And the children, they have the youth workers to provide them with arts and crafts, and they build relationships with the other children, and they absolutely love it. They really enjoy coming along, and the fellowship they get and the chance to support one another is amazing. There was another church in Worcester where they actually purchased two industrial irons so they could do all the ironing for all the local foster carers and adopters. They've actually had to go and purchase another one because they've been inundated with the amount of services that they need. But the reality is there are so many different practical ways that you can support foster carers and adopters as well. So what could you do as a church, or what could you do personally for any foster carers or adopters you know of? And the last one is, could you consider fostering or adopting yourselves? As we said, we know that not everybody could do this. But if it is something you've been thinking about or something that you want to find out more about, then I'm happy to chat with you afterwards. We've got a table by tea and coffee at the back. And also we have an information event coming up here on the 13th of April. So that's just a chance for you to ask questions or any information that you want to have over tea, coffee and cake. So that's always a winner. So the big thing for us is putting fostering and adoption on the church's agenda. And we do that by providing free resources for churches on Mother's Day, on Father's Day. We have a Home for Good Summit which is a chance for all foster carers and adopters to come along together and just worship God and thank God and praise God. And we also have different things like children's and youth worker training, and a foundations course, which is a bit like an alpha course for people who are wanting to explore fostering and adoption. We have all those resources available on our website, so if you want to have a look and see what's there, then please do, and I'm again happy to chat with you about that. This is about the information events that's coming up, so please do come and chat to me if you want to find out any more. And for any youth workers or anyone invited in children who may already be out, but as I said, we've got a children's and youth worker training in June, and that's again a free training course for anyone to come along to who's interested to find out more. Thank you. I know there's a lot of information there, so I'm sorry, but thank you for letting me share what I'm so passionate about.
Thanks so much, Bethany. There is a lot to think about, but it's not just the amount, it's the depth of it, I think. The things we're celebrating today are not there to celebrate for many. And it's a good reminder of that. It's a huge task for the individuals involved with it and for Home for Good, trying to address it across the churches. It's in those moments when we feel how small we are that God is big. Let's stand and sing together. Let the weak say, I am strong. And have we got a runner going for the children? Thank you.
I'm strong.
do please sit down. Now, all sorts of interesting things going on in a moment, and I'm going to let the flower team lead us through that because they know what they're doing. But we're going to pray first. Let's do that, shall we? Father, today we thank you for the mothers we have or have had. We thank you for the sacrifices they make and the love and generosity they show. We thank you for those moments when they go on caring for their children, even when they're exhausted and need to be cared for themselves. Thank you for the times they've made us smile, for the times they've brought comfort or wisdom. We pray for them today with grateful thanks. And we pray too for mothers elsewhere around the world who struggle to find food for their children or to protect them from war or hardship. On these beloved women everywhere today, we ask for your blessing. Amen. Now, who's going to come up here and help me? He said, looking anxiously towards the flower team. Come on out, you come. Here they come. Does one of you need a microphone to say what's happening next? They all pointed at each other. Isn't that brilliant?
This morning you're going to have a little plant. We thought it was a bit different to having a little spray as per usual. So no little card this year either. But could we have the tinies, the creche children first, please? Okay, then the next one's sort of 3 to 7.
So if you get one of those, take it back to your mum if she's here.
He obviously prefers one over there. Is that all of them, the older children then, 7 to 11? And then the teenagers. Come on, don't be frightened, don't be shy. Your mother still needs one. And then would some of the older children like to take them to all the other ladies in church?
I'm not sure whether you could hear that, but there are 180 of these. So if you want to take one to somebody afterwards, then just come up and get one, please, at the close of the service. We're going to close by singing together, Come, People of the Risen King. That's us. Let's stand and sing. And now we ask that the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit might be upon us all and all God's children throughout the whole world. Amen.